Thank you, brother. Good morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to John, the 9th chapter, I'm going to read more than I would normally read. Not quite the entire 9th chapter of John, but the good majority of it. It gives an account here that I couldn't describe it any better than it's written. And I want to hopefully, after I read this to you, draw some points out of it. So John, the 9th chapter, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. And it says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He is like him.' But he said, 'I am he.' Therefore said they unto him, 'How were thine eyes opened?' He answered and said, 'A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man, Again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Ye will also be his disciples. Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, he will heareth. Him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believed, and he worshiped him. So that's a lot to read there. That's 38 verses, but it just basically is telling a story, an account, a true account of something happened in the Bible. I want to go back through this and look at some of these things and ask the question, and you can ask the question to yourself, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? So when this account starts out, you have a man that the Bible tells us he is of age, so he is old enough to be able to speak for himself and to account for himself, and maybe he's 16, maybe he's 20, but we know this is not a 2 or 3 year old person. So he is either a teenager or probably a young man. He has never seen the light of day. He's never seen a tree, the sky, the sun, the moon, the faces of his parents, or anything like that. He has always just sat in darkness because of his condition. And as Jesus passes by this man one day, he sees him, and the disciples ask him the question about, you know, why is this man the way he is? What has happened in the past that caused this man to be born blind? And that's just, it's a little bit of a ridiculous question, and Jesus kind of sidesteps it just a little bit, doesn't really give him the straight answer that maybe they were looking for. He just gives them a true answer that probably went over their heads. But once he stops that interaction with his disciples about this man, he goes over to the man, and I just wonder in my own mind, it's a curious thing, the method that he goes about to heal this man. And he spits on the ground, and he mixes the spit with some dirt, and he kind of makes a little mud or a little bit of clay. And you just kind of wonder that the blind man, I just wonder, did he know he was spitting on the ground? Did he know that he was making the clay? Was he talking the man through it as he did it? Did he tell the man what he was about to do and that I'm about to give you your sight? Or is the blind man just kind of standing there or sitting there, you know, just overhearing this conversation about him? We don't have a record of Jesus interacting with the man before he does what he does. So it's just curious to me. Maybe the man was just sitting there overhearing the conversation of Jesus and his disciples, and the next thing you know, it falls kind of silent. Maybe he hears Jesus spit. Maybe he hears him as he bends over and mixes it all together on the ground. I wonder if Jesus said, now I'm fixing to put something on your eyes. Or if the man just all of a sudden felt something touch his eyes and recoiled a little bit. My point to say all that is this man is, because he doesn't have a sight, he is somewhat clueless of what's going on. But at some point, the Lord puts that clay and that mud that he made, and he puts it on the man's eyes, and he tells him to go to a certain pool and to wash it off. Now, certainly the man has to go and have a little bit of help getting to the pool, and he goes in the pool and he washes like the Lord tells him to, and he receives his sight. Now, so for the first time at whatever this age this man is, he begins to see all the things that I listed earlier he'd never seen before. What a miraculous day for this person. Now, it would be hard for me to, have you ever had something happen in your life that was just so good that the chances of anything else happening that day that would overshadow that and take away that joy would be very slim? I think that man is in this position. Like, I don't care what happens to me today, I've got my sight. I'm seeing for the first time. I don't care if I get bad news about my house burning down. I don't care if I get bad news about this, that, or the other. Today is the greatest day of my life I can see. And so, the neighbors, it says, and they, you know, the people that knew that he was blind and knew that he sat and begged, that also gives me an indication that he was probably older than probably just a teenager. He's not just living under his parents, the providing for him, that he sits and begs to try to get the sustenance that he needs. And people look at him and they say, some said, yeah, that's him. And it said, and others said, well, he's like him, but I don't know that that's him. And a good point of that in another sermon for another day is, if you have an encounter with the Lord, you should be different. You know, you see a lot of times people out in the world, you know, in the denominational world, they may say, oh, I've had a great encounter with Jesus, but nothing changes. Well, here, this man's encounter with Jesus was so drastic that some people said, I don't even know if that's him. He's so different. He's like him. And anyway, he goes on and they ask him, they say, how were thine eyes opened? And this is his answer. He says, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go wash in the pool of Siloam, and washed. And when I went and washed, I received sight. Now, the question is, who is Jesus to you? Okay, at this point in this encounter, this man has received his sight, and he has had somewhat of probably an awkward exchange for him, having somebody, you know, rub, you know, spit and mud on his eyes and instructing him to go do something kind of, that's an odd interaction for the blind man. Not for Jesus, but for the blind man it is, but he receives his sight. He's had an interesting day, to say the least. And so when he's asked, you know, how did this happen? That he says, there was a man called Jesus and he did these things to me. My point is this, at this point, he's just a man called Jesus. Are you with me?
Yeah.
To the blind man, he's just a man called Jesus. A lot of God's people know the name of Jesus. And maybe, especially for some that maybe have just recently been born again, maybe all they know is the name of Jesus, that they've had an encounter with something special. Maybe they've had a pretty interesting day. And it goes on, and he says, a man named Jesus made clay and opened my eyes. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime blind. So the Pharisees come into it. Now, what you're going to start to notice here is this man that has had an encounter with Jesus, that again, at this point, what Jesus is to the blind man, he is simply a name that has done something special. Well, this man is about to start experiencing the I guess you'd call it the Pharisee squeeze. They start putting pressure on him. Why? Well, one, because Jesus did this on the Sabbath day, and in the eyes of the Pharisees, that was a big no-no. And so he begins to experience the Pharisee squeeze here, and it says it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And so the Pharisees go and say, tell me again exactly what happened here. And so he tells them again. And then this is the Pharisee's response. This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. All right, remember, you got the blind man, and to the blind man, he's just a name. He's just a man that did something special for him, whose name is Jesus. And now the Pharisees are trying to talk amongst themselves, and they're saying, well, I can tell you this, what his name may be Jesus, but he is not of God, because I can tell you he wouldn't have done it on the Sabbath day. And again, they're trying to ruin this man's day. It would be very hard for you to ruin my day if I just received my sight. But that's what they're trying to do, and they're trying to discredit Jesus as the Son of God. He said he's not of God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And he says, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And it says there was a division between them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? Now notice, his answer is a little bit different. He doesn't say, what do you say about him? Initially he said, he's a man called Jesus. That's what I know. Some time goes and he begins to see some tension boiling over here with the Pharisees, and they ask him again, basically saying, what's your opinion of this matter? Give me your thoughts on it. And he doesn't say he's a man. He says he's a prophet. Now, the definition of prophet there is an interpreter of oracles or other hidden things. Okay? It sounds like this man is beginning to grow in his understanding of who he has had an encounter with. No longer is he just a man called Jesus. Now he is a special person that is an interpreter of oracles or other hidden things. Now he's not saying he's the Son of God. He's not saying that he's some sort of deity. He's just saying you know, I'm going to go a little step further here. He's not just a man. I think he's a prophet. Now, who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus just a name? Or is Jesus more than a name, and maybe he is something, somebody's special spiritual prophet? Now, this was convicting to me as I ran through the categories here. Sometimes, even for God's people, Jesus, we just act like he's just a name. Sometimes we act like he's more than a name, and Jesus is something special here now. Jesus is, he's, you know, a lot of people believe that Jesus was just a prophet. And so we go on here, and he says he's a prophet. Says, but the Jews didn't believe him. And so they go get his parents. I said, let's go and ask his parents. And his parents are so afraid of the Jewish people that they're not going to answer him, because they know that the decree has been passed that if anybody professes that Christ is the Son of God, that they're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. All right, now you can say this man is Jesus and stay in the synagogue. You can say this man is a prophet and you can stay in the synagogue. But you cannot say he's the Son of God. And so his mom and dad are like, I'm not about to answer it. This is your own deal. Look, you're of age. You answer them. And so they were afraid of the Jews. And they say, you need to ask him because he's old enough to answer for himself. So they called him again. And they said unto him, tell us again exactly what happened and exactly what you think about this man. And this is what he says. He says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. He's a man named Jesus. He's a prophet, but I don't know if he's sinless or not. I don't know if what he did was against the law or not. But I do know this, that I was blind and now I see. That's his way of saying he's not your ordinary person. And they said, where is he? Where'd he go? All right, this man that opened your eyes, where is he? Where'd he go? He says, I don't know where he went. He said, I told you already and you didn't hear. And he goes on and says, they reviled him. Here's the squeeze again. They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. You're a follower of this man. And again, the man's just received his sight. I would be like, you can call me what you want to call me. I can see. But they're getting very upset with him, and they start accusing him of being his disciple. And if you remember, this is not blind Bartimaeus. This was not a man that stood there and cried out, just incessantly for the Lord to stop and listen to him. He was sitting there just begging, and the Lord stops. The disciples ask a question about him, and the Lord goes over there to him to interact with him. So he's just going about his business in the day. The next thing you know, here's an encounter with the Lord. Sounds a lot like the new birth. He says, they accuse him of being his disciples. He says, we know that God spake unto Moses, for as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Now notice this. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. All right, there's another category. Initially, they say, tell me what happened. He says, a man called Jesus. So that's all I got. A little bit later on, he goes, yeah, he's a prophet. He's something special. A little bit later, he goes, this man is of God. All right, now, when he begins to say that, that's when they really get stirred up.
Right.
And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, which they were wrong, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now, it's interesting the way this progresses, because the tighter they squeeze him, the more revelation and understanding he seems to get. And the tighter they squeeze him, the closer he is drawn to the Lord.
Amen.
Now notice this. He is gone. I mean, it just this is probably, I don't know, I would guess a couple hours here at most. He's gone from sitting there begging as a blind man at the gate to seeing and testifying that this man was from God.
Amen.
And climbing a ladder from, he comes to a point in his life here in this interaction where in his mind he consciously says he's more than just a man.
Right.
He's more than just a prophet. He is definitely now, I don't know if he's a sinner, I don't understand, but this man is definitely from God.
Amen.
Maybe he was thinking, I don't know if this man's an angel. I don't know if this is Elijah reincarnated. I don't know what this is. But I know he's from God. And that's enough for them to take him. He's gone from sitting at the gate to taking him and casting him out of the synagogue. They've thrown him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I ought to stop here, and I'm not going to, but I ought to stop here and go to Romans 10 and try to explain Romans 10 when it says, talks about the purpose of the gospel and how can they believe on him who they've not heard. Here's a born-again man who just needs the information. And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Sounds like the Ethiopian eunuch, does it not? Who is he that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. There's our last category. Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. All right. Who do you worship? When you think about, especially in the Old Testament days, worship belonged to who? The king. All right? Worship belonged to the king. This man in a short span here has gone from, he's just a man. Actually, he's more than a man, he's a prophet. He's more than a prophet, he's a prophet from God, to he is my king. Now, again, it's interesting that the more they pressured him and persecuted him and cast him out, the more he understood who God was.
Amen.
And it was their persecution that drove him to an understanding that he is my king and I'm going to worship him.
Mm.
Now, that's very interesting to me.
Amen.
Because I live my life a lot of days, and I'm just ashamed to admit this, that sometimes I live my life like he's just a name. Or maybe he's just a name, or he's more than a name. Maybe I just think, oh, he's special, and he is definitely from God. But do I live my life like he is my king?
Right.
Maybe it's because I hadn't had enough squeezing yet. It's interesting when they tried to, the best way to make the church grow is to persecute it.
Right.
You read over later on in the New Testament when they persecuted the church, it said that the church waxed bold. And there was something about being persecuted that just lit a fire in them of courage.
Amen.
And you see that here. Sometimes we're too comfortable to worship. But I wonder if we felt the pressure that this man felt, would we see him as a king? It's a great account here, and there's so much in this one chapter that you could talk about and expound on. But what I wanted us to get out of it today, is Jesus a man to you? Is he a prophet to you? Is he from God to you? Or is he a king to you? And unless you see him as a king, your worship will always be falling short. I hope that that's been profitable to you, and please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.